enjoying this warm weather, finally. Yesterday, sunshine. It's all good. Welcome to our guests. I see some new faces here. Glad you're with us. Hope you feel at home. And more than anything, we want you to experience the presence of God. We want you to connect with the Lord. That's the main thing. Praise the Lord. Well, we just kind of wrapped up a series on the Holy Spirit, and then the next generation had service last week, and we got community service coming up at the end of the month. So I got a 3-week short series on faith. That'd be all right? So today we're going to talk about walking by faith. And let me just start with this. There was a pastor that was speaking to his people on the relationship between fact and faith. And he said that you are sitting before me in this church is fact. That I am standing here speaking from this pulpit is fact. That I believe anyone is listening to me is faith. Faith. It's everything when it comes to Christianity. It's all about faith. We're saved by faith. We're justified by faith. We're sanctified by faith. We receive the promises by faith. We gain understanding by faith. We obey by faith. We wait by faith. We stand by faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I believe Naomi, where'd you go? Naomi, there you are. Oh yeah, you changed your jacket. That threw me off. Does anybody else have that situation where you're getting ready and you're all set and the wife's like, oh, that's no good. I gotta go. Now you know. You got some helpers for me? Tony and Carice, come on down. All right. You guys are going to do a demonstration of a faith walk. This is probably nothing new, but we're going to demonstrate, okay? And so you need to be blindfolded, okay? And then you're going to lead her around and make sure she doesn't get hurt.
Sounds good.
Okay? You can handle that, right?
I think so.
Do you trust him to do that?
Yes.
All right, let's do the blindfold. I'll let you do it yourself so I don't hurt you. Hopefully it'll fit. Okay. Now, I think there's more obstacles up here on the platform, so I'd like you to come up the stairs, kind of wind around the piano, maybe around the drums and over around the instruments, and you guide her through, okay, whatever it takes. If you need to talk to her, whatever, okay? And so everybody else, we're observing, perhaps cheering if you want. How many of you have ever done a little faith walk like something like this before? There, yeah, okay, yeah, gotcha. Very good. That's a tight squeeze through there. I don't know. Not bad. Yeah. You're doing great, guys. I'm impressed. Oh, yeah, there's cords over there, man. This is going to be good. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Nice. Woo, that was close. Now, if you'll just lead her down back to your seats, and that'll conclude. Keep your blindfold on until you're back to your seat. Well done. Wow. And ta-da! Yeah! Well done. You can hold on to that for now. I'll get it later. That was really good. No stub toes, no trips, no nothing. Impressive. Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. What did it take for the follower to navigate through the course safely? And that's number one, trust the seer. Tony could see, and Carice needed to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And we just saw that very visually right here. She trusted him, and he led her safely through. The next part that she had to do was listen. Exactly. Listen closely, because there were very specific instructions. I don't know if you could hear over here, but he said, lift your back foot, bring it forward. Now your other foot, you know, very precise details. And Isaiah 28, 23 says, listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. And I believe this, that God is speaking, but so often we're not paying attention. Need to bring back foghorn, leghorn. I say, boy, pay attention when I'm talking to you. Not too bad, right? I watched those all the time when I was a kid. Pay attention, because God is speaking. We need to listen. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God is talking. He is. He's speaking to us. We need to pay attention and listen. And then there was one more component, and this was on Carice, that Carice not only had to listen, but she had to obey. She had to do what the instructions said. Jeremiah 7:23, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. When we trust the seer, and we listen closely, and we obey or follow his instructions, then he leads us safely down the path. No matter how many obstacles or troubles come along, he leads us safely. That's a great concept of how faith works and how we walk by faith. Now, during the days of the Blitz back in World War II, a father was holding his small son by the hand, and he ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. And in the front yard, there was a shell hole. And so he jumped into the hole as quickly as possible to try to get shelter, because there was just stuff going off all around him. And so then he held up his arms and urged his son to follow him. And the little boy was terrified, and he says, I can't see you. The father, he saw all the burning buildings, and he yelled up at his son, but I can see you. Jump. And then the boy jumped because he trusted his father. In the Christian life, the Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because we can see, but with certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known. Another comment I've heard before is, faith is not just you holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. And faith isn't what you can see. It's what God can see and trusting him. Now let's just talk about some of the contrast between faith and sight. Sight tends to trust in possessions and prosperity. But faith sees God as the source. In Luke 18, there's the story of the rich young ruler, and he came to Jesus and he asked, how do I get eternal life? And Jesus listed off the Ten Commandments and said, you need to do those things. And the young man says, hey, I've been doing those my whole life. And then Jesus says, well, there's one more thing. He pulled a Columbo on him. He says, one more thing. He says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the rich young man walked away because he was walking by sight, trusting his possessions and his prosperity rather than trusting God. Sight focuses on the how, while faith focuses on who. In John chapter 9, there's a story of the blind man. He'd been born blind, and Jesus healed him. You know the story. And those around him could not understand what had happened, and they actually interrogated this formerly blind man as if he were a criminal. In John chapter 9, verse 10, he says, how then were your eyes opened? They're grilling him. And he doesn't really answer the how. How were your eyes opened? He says, well, the man, they call Jesus, put some mud in my eyes, told me to go wash. So I did, and then I could see. We, in our natural fleshly pattern, we want to see everything. We want to understand how it's all going to work. But really, all we need to know is who is in charge. It's the Lord. Sight sees the size of the situation. Faith sees the size of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. I got to work on my formatting. I know what it is. It's the font. The computer back there doesn't have the font that I use because that doesn't look anything like what I prepared. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. Okay. Let me get back to it. Reel you back in. Sight sees the size of the situation. Faith sees the size of God. 1 Samuel 17 and 18. David and Goliath. Classic example. Goliath, as you know, was the giant. He was over 9 feet tall. And they talk about the weapons he carried in war were heavy, but nothing to him. And when he taunted the Israelites, King Saul and all the Israelites, the scripture says, all of them were dismayed and terrified. But then David comes on the scene a little bit later, and he says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David looked right past that 9-foot-tall giant to his immensely large God. He was not dismayed or terrified like the rest of them because he had his eyes on the Lord. Sight is self-focused, but faith seeks God first. Matthew 6, 31, 32, and 33. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? That's sight. Okay? What? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do it? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Sight wants to take care of all the stuff that we're worried about. Let's do all of that, and then if there's some time and resources left, then maybe I'll give God some attention. But faith says, no, 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 I'm going to put God first, no matter what else is going on. God comes first, and then God promises that he will take care of all those other little details that you were initially worried about. Can I get a witness on that? Somebody that knows that's true, you've experienced it firsthand? Yeah. Here's another, this is an important one. Sight is based on feelings. Faith is based on what God has to say. Abraham and Sarah, they heard directly what God said about giving them a son, but they just couldn't believe it initially. In fact, in Genesis chapter 17, when God told Abraham, I'll give you a son and kings will come from that lineage, it says that Abraham fell on his face and laughed out loud. I'm 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And then in Genesis 18, when Sarah heard the report, she laughed to herself and thought, now that I'm all worn out and my master's old, I'm going to have a kid. You see, initially they couldn't believe it. Their feelings got in the way. Dealing with your feelings while keeping the faith is important. Okay, this is where I think most Christians tend to stumble right here. The feelings get in the way. We need to learn to lead our emotions. I came across this little illustration a while back, and I think it's so good. Circumstances plus beliefs will yield thoughts. And thoughts lead to emotions. Emotions lead to actions, and then actions bring on more circumstances. Okay? Now here's the truth. You can't always control your circumstances. That's a fact. Life throws curveballs. You cannot always control that. But you can control your beliefs. That is in your control. What you believe. And so, even though circumstances might throw you a curveball, you've got belief that you are in charge of, and you can believe God, and then that shapes your thoughts, which then shapes your emotions, and then shapes your actions. Abraham finally learned this, and he demonstrated it when God told him to take his son that he had laughed about before he was born. Now he's born. He's actually probably a teenager. And God tells him, take your son up the mountain and make a sacrifice to me out of your son. And by now, Abraham's faith had grown, and his thoughts and emotions were directed by his beliefs. No longer by his feelings, but by his beliefs. This time he didn't laugh or cry or argue, but he remembered what God had said about this boy. Kings will come through his lineage. And he had confidence in God's ability. In fact, we see it in Genesis 22, verse 5. He's going towards the mountain. He's got servants and his son with him. And when he and just his son are ready to go up the mountain, he turns to his servants and says, we will worship the Lord, and then we will come back to you. He was demonstrating his faith and confidence in God already. He didn't know exactly how it would all play out, but he knew God had already made promise, God had proven himself, and so somehow God's going to work this out. In fact, Hebrews 11 verse 9 clarifies it and says that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Even if God let him go all the way to killing his own son, he believed God can raise him right back up. Faith means that we keep our eyes on God who controls circumstances and not on the circumstances themselves. And so we need to lead our emotions. Concentrate on what God says and what we believe. Here's another one. Sight sees the problems. Faith sees the possibilities. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story of Elisha and his servant. And they got up early in the morning, and there was an army with horses and chariots that had surrounded the city. And the servant actually says this, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" But Elisha, the prophet, said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Too often we get focused on our problem. Okay. You're there for a minute, I thought maybe I'm the only one that does that. You know, problems come along and we focus on that problem. That's a natural human tendency, but we need to overcome that because faith can see the possibilities. You know, I don't have this in my notes, but I just remembered, you know, thinking about healings and miracles in the Bible. What did every one of those have in common? There was a problem that needed to be fixed in every case. And God turned it into a possibility. Here's another one. Sight is in a hurry. Faith waits on God. This is another toughie. Okay? 1 Samuel 13 is a great illustration of this. Saul is about to go into battle, but Samuel was supposed to be there and offer a burnt offering before they went to war. That way they would know God would bless them as they went to war. But Samuel was running behind. So Saul got antsy. He took matters into his own hands, and he made the burnt offering himself. And if you know the story, that was not his place to do that. And ultimately, it cost him his kingdom. Because he couldn't wait. He was in a hurry. Isaiah 40:31, you know it. "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." If you will trust God and wait, he'll work it all out. It's when we get in a hurry, then we mess it up. Pretty true. Corrie Ten Boom says, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer." Right? And there are dark moments in life when we're uncertain and we see a problem or we don't know what to do. But God still sees. Remember, the seer could see everything and walked the follower right through it all safely. There's a lot of contrast between sight and faith, and we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. We trust God and his word even when we can't see or understand it all. Now, the phrase, "we walk by faith, not by sight," sometimes causes people to think the Bible promotes blind faith. That's the idea of trusting someone or something without any kind of evidence at all. I am not an advocate of blind faith. And I don't believe the Bible teaches blind faith. Okay? Jesus actually encouraged people to look at the evidence. He even said, at least believe the miracles. So he was offering them evidence. And in the New Testament, it instructs us to defend the faith and to give the reasons for our faith. So it's not blind in the sense that we don't have any evidence at all. There is evidence. And so I believe in a reasonable faith. there is evidence that leads me to believe as I do. I don't fully understand everything that God says in the Bible, and I can't understand or see everything that God is doing, but there's enough evidence for me to trust God for those things that I don't see and understand. You get it? If I could see and understand it all, there wouldn't really be a need for faith. I got it. I see it. I get it. I don't need your help. But I don't see it all. I don't get it all. And so I trust the Lord. It's a combination of reason and faith. You trust the chair you're sitting on to hold you. Right? Or you wouldn't be sitting there. But if it was tattered and the welded joints were obviously broken, you might have some reservations about sitting down on that chair. Right? I mean, especially in the gym, we've thrown some chairs out because they get kind of worn out. And some of you see that chair and you're thinking, I'm not sitting on that one. Right? There's evidence. Okay? As well, just because somebody says something doesn't mean I will automatically trust them. But someone with whom I have a history, that's a different story. I can trust them because I know them and they have been trustworthy before. Isn't that true for you as well? My dad has an illustration that he uses in kids' ministry, and it tests your faith. He has a rat trap, and it's set. It's set to snap. And then he asks you to touch the spring mechanism. Now, it really is a rat trap. It's a genuine article. And it looks like it's set. Now, my sight is telling me one thing, but my dad is telling me something else. So I have to choose, do I believe what I see? Or do I believe what my dad is telling me? It's really a question of his character and our relationship. What do I know about my dad? What kind of relationship with my dad do I have? If he says, I can touch that and it's not going to hurt me, I can touch that, it's not going to hurt me. It looks like it's going to... And that'll probably break some bones. But my dad says it's safe. Okay, then it's safe. And it really is, because he's got it worked up that it's not going to snap you. It looks like it will, boy. But it's all about his character and our relationship. And so I just want to wrap it up with this thought. God has proven himself repeatedly. We know his character. He is trustworthy. And we have a relationship with him that can grow and develop and build. And so we can trust him and we can walk by faith, not by sight. You see the differences? I want to walk by faith. I know what it is to get tripped up on the things that we see and the problems we face and all those things. I struggle with that myself, but I want to walk by faith. And so let's ask God to help us to walk by faith. You know, really, everything comes from him. So if we need more faith, we need to ask God for more faith. The next couple of weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about how we can grow in our faith. But let's just start with this thought. God is trustworthy, so I can walk by faith. I can trust him. Amen? Let's stand. And let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Your word that tells us who you are and how trustworthy you are. And you've proved it over and over again. We can trust you. You are good. Always good. You have our best interests in mind. Always. Whether it makes sense to us or not, that's the truth. So, Lord, we trust you. And, Lord, where we struggle with our faith, we ask you to increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight, to see past all the circumstances and problems and things that come our way and see you. You are in charge. You have all the power and all the authority that is needed to deal with anything that comes our way. So we trust you, and we will walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God's blessings on you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.